ready to turn right?
Yeah.
Just lost you, wagon! Wow!
Podcast Rock City.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. And with me this week, after a long hiatus, Sonny Hollywood Pony.
So I got the iguana burst up there. That's a limited Les Paul, Gibson Les Paul. So then I had to wear the green hat. And then I'm like, oh, I got a green shirt. So I'm all greened
up.
I'm all matchy matchy.
And that right there is the goddess of thunder. Lee, how you doing?
I don't match, but I'm good.
Yeah, I'm okay. So just a heads up. The weather, I'm in Alabama, and the weather here is awful. So
damn
I'm here. Actually Dan in Georgia. So I'm in Alabama. She's in Georgia. The weather's terrible. I'm doing the show from my phone. I'll do my best. I don't know how many comments I'm going to be able to get out there.
Did you lose them?
On the show.
No,
did you lose
there.
Me?
No, he's there.
Okay. Anyway, so thank you guys for coming.
Did we lose Sonny?
No, I'm here.
All right, we're just going to do our best for you guys because we love you. Anyway,
hello.
So Sonny, so basically what you said before this was you had to tell the nurse before they gave you the COVID shot, do it quick because the minute you touch me, I'm ready to throw it. Been your whole life or just as an adult?
Something must have happened as a kid because as an adult, I just don't like needles. I have a tattoo. I was hammered when I got that tattoo, so I don't even remember getting it. But yeah, needles are not my friend.
I don't like needles either, but you got to suck it up, though. Take a deep breath.
Hey, somebody might say that about a person that's got a problem with somebody chewing around them.
That's true.
That is a problem.
What is that called, Lee?
Misophonia, and I has it.
So if you go out to eat with people, is music have to be happening so you don't hear them chew?
It depends. It's a problem.
So here's the thing. That's okay. Hey, today problems with the podcast Rock City people.
He's sitting there chewing almonds right in his microphone. I mean,
that was the thing. I was chewing my mouth shut, and it was just rattling this headset, it didn't even matter. It was just so loud. I have anxiety, so everybody's screwed up on Podcast Rock City. All right, anyway, so listen, it's really great to see you guys. Normally, we don't jabber this long. Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
So I was, I've never used the phone to do this. You guys hear me fine?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I was going to be showing you guys all kinds of stuff today on the computer, but because I have no internet, I can't do that. But you guys out there, for those of you collectors, Kiss collectors, GeneSimmonsAuctions.com opened up.
Oh, boy.
And that was today. I got the email about it. Maybe some of you did. And so far, the stuff that I've seen on there has been a few bases that are going to be used at the final two shows, a couple of them. Lee is already talking about selling her house to get one. It's crazy.
The red metallic. Oh, man.
there's a few other things. Sonny, you said you saw something you think were Hello Kitty rain boots?
Yeah, they look like little rain boots. I don't know if they're life size or whatever, but
baby rain boots.
Yeah, I'm not sure, or like they were a sample or something. And then I saw like a paperweight that looked like the Simmons money logo paperweight kind of thing. And I think there was a stage huge something. I can't remember what it was, but there were some things that were under $10,000. Let's put it that way.
Under $10,000.
Yeah. And then there's the swords for breathing fire. The last two or maybe one or two are for sale for 10 grand for the first and second show. I say that, but it's the last two shows on the first and the second. How about that?
Does that include meeting him and the experience or no?
I would hope so. Because if you're not meeting him for 10 grand walking out, here's your sword. Take your sword and fucking beat it.
Goodbye.
It's like, what? Anyway, Yeah, so these things are cool. GeneSimmonsAuctions.com, you guys go check that out. A couple of days ago, I got an email through Podcast Rock City. Don't forget, the person that sent this took advantage of what I'm about to say. You can email us anything you wanted to us to talk about. I've been getting tons and tons of things where people are going, hey, I think you guys should talk about this. And we're putting them in the pot, and we're going to make sure we talk about them. I got an email that said, I'm back. And then it said Sam Loomis and a web address.
And
I can't open it up here to show you guys. But anyway, apparently Sam Loomis, or it says the real Sam Loomis. I don't know if it even really is or if it isn't. But they have put up a ton of videos on there. What was the site called? It's a file sharing thing. It's not file. It's like a video site. I can't look at it on my computer or my phone because I'm doing the show on
Rumble.
My phone.
Gretzky site.
Rumble. Yes. I apologize, you guys. I just didn't want to cancel on y'all. Anyway, and apparently there was also a post on Facebook that said that this person is going to be releasing some kind of a file that you click on and you can download all the videos. I don't know if that's actually happened or if it's really going to happen or not, but stay tuned and we'll keep an eye out. I watched a few videos. The Australian show where they introduced Eric Carr, you know, the whole, look, it's rock and roll, that whole, I've never seen that entire thing. I don't know how. I don't think I've ever missed it, but it was on there and I watched it. And then there was an Australian press conference that a lot of us have seen before. But I've never seen the whole thing. And that was kind of cool. But there's concerts and everything, tons of little snippets. And I don't bother with that stuff. If I'm going to sit and watch something, it's going to be 20 minutes at least where I feel like I don't have to every minute and a half click a thing. But you know, it was basically this person had, you know, came out and said I guess something about one of the authors of this Kiss Alive Forever book. I don't want to say his name because I don't want any emails, and
everybody knows,
and yeah, but still. And then I don't know, we're waiting to see what happens. It's really interesting. Sonny, what do you think? Old news?
I'm completely over Sam Loomis. I no longer care. If somebody thinks there's a video that's interesting, great. Send me the link. Otherwise, I don't care.
I heard it's hard to get it taken down on Rumble. That's why they went on Rumble.
Right. So I believe that I've seen there's a lot of people leaving YouTube to go to Rumble because Rumble does not, like, so on YouTube, my understanding is, like, I watch shows, and if, let's say they're talking about social things, not necessarily controversial social things, just social things, right? Mm-hmm. If they say specific words, it gets them strikes. And, you know, and even if it's just talking about that specific thing, you know, we could talk about this and talk about why it happens or why it has happened. And if they say a specific word, nope, you get taken down. But I hear on Rumble that does not happen. I have watched there was a comedian that does a talk show, and he's like, we put certain things on YouTube, but our live show is on Rumble because we won't get taken down for anything we say. You're getting the edited thing on YouTube. That's crazy when you think about
how,
you know, freedom of speech, but whatever. We're just talking Kiss here. I have to tell you that I'm not necessarily over the Sam Loomis stuff. I'm not necessarily over it, but my thing is I don't have the time to just sit and click video and watch a video and click a video and watch a video and click a video and then, you know, and then come back to it later and scroll through and find where I left off and then click a video. And if I want to put something on, I want it to be longer. Click a video, watch the video. This was great. Go to the next one. And then, you know, So a lot of people have downloaded a lot of that stuff. I did not. I was not able to download it all. Hmm. And I'm just waiting on somebody out there to send me a link with everything on it. That'd be great. I don't have my hopes up.
I'm going to try to check it out.
But I will. I heard there's even more stuff than you would think on there. But anyway, go check that out. The Real Sam Loomis. It's on Rumble. And whoever's putting that video out there, good job.
One day we'll find out.
One day we'll find out who you are. All right. So that being said, one other thing. I guess there was an announcement this week that there will be no Kiss Cruise in 2024.
Oh.
Which has now got me closer to being on another cruise. The Jay and Silent Bob cruise will be happening, I think, in February. And I'm really thinking about doing that once. Jason Lee will be on that. And I'm thinking about taking Jace because he is a huge My Name is Earl fan. He has, let me tell you, on this planet, if other than the people who did the show and then it got canceled, very abruptly, my son is the most upset that it didn't come to a close. You know what I mean? Like a finale. The whole idea of a show was coming to a point, and they never got to the point. And my son, I mean, like, bless his 17-year-old brains, he would sit around and talk to me about it. You think maybe they'll just one day do a movie? And, they get together and they do a movie, and it would end the show. I do remember that there was a show called Jericho, and it was it did a season, and it was really interesting, and then they canceled it after the first season, and I guess people wrote in. They did a second season, then they canceled it, and Marvel bought it. And now apparently you could buy the comic book, and it's still going on. But, that's the only way it was going to keep going on. So hopefully my poor son – so that's – I know that has nothing to do with Kiss, you guys. Anyway, so no Kiss Cruise in 2024. Sorry about that. I really wanted to go myself. But to be fair, we have spent a lot of money on just this year.
I think you're good.
Just this year, we've spent a lot of money, and I think I'm good for right now. And if they do something in 2025, if they work it out, it did say that they're trying to figure out a way to continue working together. And if they do, Sixth Man and Kiss will, and that would be great for all of us Kiss fans. All right, enough with that. Let's go ahead and get to Sonny. Did you see anything? Anything catch your eye?
Nothing. I didn't see anything else.
Lee?
No, just the auction right. I was looking at.
Just the auction. All right, let's go ahead and get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Okay, so I wanted us to start doing basically something where we've never done anything where we've gone year by year talking about the band. Sonny sent us a thing a while ago basically talking about topics that we could do that we've never done. Some that we've done, but like I did them when I had Jody and Andrew on, or even when I had Lee and Rick and Trey on. So we've never done with the new people, and new is relative because Sonny's been on the show five years now. Sonny,
no.
six
years. So you get what I'm saying.
I'm just recycled.
I guess so. Yeah, we can put it that way. So anyway, I pulled out the old Kiss Alive Forever book. And I was like, it would be cool to go through the first few years of their career. So 73, 74, and 75. And I'm going by this book and what I think I know. Very important. So don't write me letters to podcastrockcity1.
That's the number one.
@gmail.com. I don't want your letter telling me I had something backwards. It's okay. This is just a fan show. Anyway, let's start with 1973. That picture, can you see it?
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows that one.
It blows my mind that Gene was a blonde. Gene's a blonde in this picture. And Ace looks bored. Paul looks pretty much exactly the same.
Right.
You know, and Peter, just a little, you know, without makeup, the only person that looks different is Gene. But anyway, so 1973, the band is together. You guys all know the story about how they got together, how Paul met Gene, and they played songs for each other. And later on, Paul, I guess, either he rented or he rented out some amps. I think it was Gene that rented out some amps. And that's, you know, later on they became Kiss, and that's wonderful. 1973, they did basically clubs. 24 dates. You know, it's really strange because until I got this book, for some reason, I thought they only did a couple, like three or four shows before, you know, like they were on it sending out all these invitations, you know. I don't know why I always thought that it was a short career before they got signed. And to be fair, if it was 24 shows before they got, you know, picked up by Casablanca, that's a short amount of time. But Sonny, one of the things that's about that's crazy about this is they do have some of the names of the bands that open. We're going to talk about that in a second. But you have to, if you look at this picture, they were not wearing like makeup. That had to come a little later, right?
Yeah, that picture was funky because I remember I couldn't tell who was Gene and who was Peter at first.
Ah,
really?
Yeah, wow. The other two, because I got that, I saw that picture early in my Kiss fandom, mm-hmm. So I didn't really know Peter that well, and I only know the Gene, you know, from the movies and shit, right, really. So when I saw that picture, I'm like, wait a second, which one's Gene?
Oh.
Yeah. So one of the cool things about this book, if you guys don't own this book, if you go on eBay, I'm sure you can find them. They even have some covers that have, well, when Vinnie Vincent came to Atlanta like 4 years ago and promised that he was going to put out his box set. Or, yep. Sonny, would you say promised? Did he actually promise or did he just say it's coming out?
Say is not a promise now.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
He said it was coming out.
And then you wouldn't only get one, you'd get two. They did a special cover that had Eric Carr and Vinnie Vincent on the cover with Paul and Gene. Anyway, if you don't have this book, you really think about getting it. It might cost you $100, but I promise
what?
It's great reading. It's great reading. On eBay, they're expensive.
Really?
But one of the cool things about it, if you look at the bands that the headlining acts that played with Kiss January, so this was the start date was January 30th, 1973. End date was December 22nd, 1973. They did 24 dates. Now you look at it and you go, oh, that's not really playing a whole lot.
Right. Compared to, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking.
But if it's their first year out, that's pretty good.
Yeah. But there at the time, I believe there was a lot of places to play. So here are the bands that headlined. The Bratz, Isis, Queen Elizabeth featuring Wayne County, and Wild Honey. And then I guess I'm guessing this means they were headliners at some point. It says opening acts, the Bluntz, City Slicker, the Detroit Dogs, Flaming Youth. Oh. What do you think about that, Lee? Flaming Youth. You think that how they got?
Yeah, that's probably where he got that from.
Jackdaw, Luger, Planets, Rags, Rebelot Quartet, and Street Punk.
Looks like we've all seen from some of those names.
Yeah. Okay, so here's one of the other things that's pretty cool. Now, and once again, I highly recommend this book. Okay, it was written by Kurt Gooch and Ooh, Jeff you said Suss.
It. You said
I know.
There you go, Andrew. It's his Andrew book. Wanted it's you his, to say his name.
It's his book. Kurt Gooch and Jeff Suss. I recommend this book, and I don't give a shit who doesn't like that.
It's a good book.
There's a lot of stories in here and a lot of history, but here's something cool. I really, really want to know what these songs either became or why they got tossed. But here's a night, okay, January 30th, 1973, they did two sets. There was no opening act. The capacity is 600 people. But I don't know if that's how many people showed up. It doesn't say.
Right.
Here's the set list. Deuce, Watching You, Love Her All I Can, She, Simple Type, Keep Me Waiting, Life in the Woods, Baby Let Me Go, Firehouse, Black Diamond. Now, some of these we can figure out what they are, but I consider myself an Uber fan, but I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to hear Keep Me Waiting or Life in the Woods, Baby Let Me Go.
Keep Me Waiting, I've heard. I don't know that Woods song.
Remember that box set that had all the weird stuff?
Hey, guys, if you guys can, keep an eye on the comments and see if anybody says what songs these became. The second set was...
Well, Loomis would know, right? He's on the comments.
Is he there?
Yeah, cool. He says the real Loomis from YouTube is there. Whoever what? That is.
For I don't Wow, that. I don't know if that's true or not.
Keep Me Waiting was on the Wicked Lester album. And okay. It was on the box set from 2001. That's why I remember it.
Okay. Life in the Woods, Baby Let Me Go. I might know these songs if I heard them. If they were. Anyway, so there's a lot of really cool stuff talking about 1973. So 73, they're together. They start, playing out and doing shows. And the pictures in this book are awesome where they're showing them just starting to put on makeup. If you guys look, I know that if you're just listening, you can't see it, but most of you guys have this book, and you'll know page 17. They got the early Kiss's fifth concert, March 10th, 1973, at the Daisy. Paul's got like blush on and stuff. Gene is wearing white makeup, with stuff around his eyes. Peter's wearing what looks like cat makeup, and Ace has definitely got the silver. It's really one of those cool things,
Yeah, the evolution is cool.
There's some awesome pictures in here of everybody's heard stories about the loft where they practiced. I remember one of the things that really freaked me out was hearing them tell the story about how they put egg cartons on the wall. They had cracked eggs, and there were so many roaches in the place that they'd be like in the cartons.
Sweet.
I just don't think so. Now, that's something I couldn't deal with. I would... Like Sunny with the needles, roaches with me, I don't know. I can't punch a roach because I would have to touch it. I don't want any of that. And anyway, all right, so 1973, they're just getting started. I believe they hit Electric Lady Studios for their demo then, and they recorded Deuce, Cold Gin, Strutter, Watching You, and Black Diamond. Sunny, do you have the demos CD or record?
I don't think so.
I have a CD somewhere.
I don't think I have it either, which is a shame. I know that somebody re-released it on vinyl, but every time I've gone and seen it, it's been sold.
It might be on that, remember that terabyte drive that we were sent? It might be on that.
Oh, that's a good point. I might check that out.
Yeah, I have a CD of it somewhere.
That's pretty cool. So 73, there's some cool pictures here of where they did like house parties. There's pictures of the Bratz. One thing that's really cool is, in my lifetime, there are pictures of me, but for some reason, the people around the band Kiss and the guys in Kiss, they took pictures, tons of pictures of themselves before they became famous, And I have to tell you, I don't know that I would have been that smart. it's just such a hassle to go get pictures developed, right?
Well,
we were kids.
Like Andrew said, Lydia, Chris's book has really amazing photos in it.
Yeah, it has one where Peter's got his wiener tucked between his legs, It messed me up the first time I saw it. I was so disappointed that I'm like flipping. What just happened? I was disappointed because I didn't want that in my book. Anyway, God bless her for doing that. There's a cool picture of the brats here. You know, you have to wonder though, when Kiss was playing and they started developing this look and this sound and this show, I would love to know what other bands really thought. You know, were they like, I'm not headlining.
That's what that's what the word is. That everyone thought they were nutty. What are you doing? And when they did open, they didn't want to play with them anymore.
Yeah, because right. that begs a question, this whole, they played 24 dates in 73. Is that their, you know, is it them trying to hold back, going, you know what, we want a full reveal and we're ready. And we're just trying to work on our chops a little bit? Or is that you got 70% of clubs won't touch them?
I feel like it was an evolution. Like they started, you know, there's a little bit of makeup and then they slowly evolved into what, you know, they became. It just happened slow. That's what I read. I mean, just like it was a slow process. Oh, let's put a little of this on. Let's put this on, you know.
You hear when you read their books, you know, you get conflicting stories. Who did what first? It did. Well, it wasn't just a, hey, let's all do this. I think it was a slow burn. You know, and I remember Gene saying that he noticed that once the makeup went on, Paul acted kind of strange on stage. You know,
he looked and over then and Paul was going.
He was pouting and shaking his, you know, shoulders and his hips. And but Paul thought the same thing. He was looking at Gene going, oh, he's acting completely different. It's funny that, you know, it was almost like they always had that in them, but the makeup brought it out. What do you think, yeah. Sonny?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's, I mean, I'll tell you, if I had a job that I haven't got that I really wanted, I wanted to be like a mascot. Because the minute that it's not you anymore, you can be free to be whoever you want. The mascots have so much fun.
Yep.
I've seen it, yeah.
That's why I go to all these sci-fi and stuff conventions and dress up, because I can be something else for a day. It's a blast. Yeah. It's a freaking blast.
Let me tell
I'm
you,
not myself anymore. I'm Pennywise the Clown and free reign.
I will tell you guys this. If you guys are ever at an event and you run into Lee dressed as Pennywise, be prepared. It's freaky. And there's usually like 20 people in line to get pictures, and she can't walk 5 feet without somebody walking up and going, please, please.
Joe,
I remember.
I'll be down at the Marriott next Saturday. Someone wants me to be in a video as Pennywise down there.
What's happening at the Marriott?
Just someone wants me to be in their video. They're doing a Dragon Con type video about.
Oh, really?
Con. They want me to, they asked me to be down there as Pennywise.
Are you, and now I'm going to be at Fanboy in Knoxville. You're going to be there. Are you dressing up?
I probably.
As what, Lee?
Well, I haven't decided.
Oh, it'll be a surprise. So you'll have to walk up to me. All right. So Kiss gets signed. They get signed. And then, you know, a coin meets them. He pitches their music. If you believe the spinning gold movie, you know, this all happened kind of quick, and they've always said that he heard that Neil Bogart heard the band before seeing them and signed them just by their music. And then according to Gene, when it came time to see the band, he was like, I'll sign the band, but you got to get rid of the makeup. And he always said, you know, we were either smart or stupid, and we told them no, you know, we're going to keep the makeup on. Then this came out. First Kiss record, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I said this on the show before. I've heard rumors that Gene's mouth was open because they were going to, like, layer fire coming out of his mouth. I'm not sure that any of that is really true. But Peter's makeup, you know, you guys heard the story about how, yeah, that you heard the story though, that there was, they brought in balloons and everything because the photographer thought they were clowns.
Well, they were doing almost a kabuki, like a, you know, that style, the makeup artist. And he couldn't keep doing that himself. That's why he went back to just the black and white.
Right. But the photographer brought in, you know, confetti and streamers and balloons because he thought they were trying to be clowns. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I could tell you from being in a band or anything like that is that if you get in a situation where you have this opportunity to take these new steps and big steps, it's very easy for somebody to walk in and influence you. You know what I mean? It's sure. very easy for somebody to come in and go, hey, we were thinking about this. And you're like, okay, you know, but thank God there are no balloons and streamers in this album cover.
I have an alternate photo of that alternate poster.
I have one too. It's more like a red background. Have you ever seen? Different ones.
It's just a different pose. Like their faces are different.
But now all the songs that are on this record, for the most part, I mean, you're talking about like the core Kiss songs, right?
Oh yeah,
Sonny.
Yeah, core Kiss songs that, you know, if they don't last. I think it's part makeup and part the songs. I love the songs. Don't get me wrong. Right. But these are not Zeppelin. This is not Rush. Like they're not, I get it. They're simple rock songs and they're meant to be simple rock songs, but I think the makeup puts a different flavor on it.
Of course.
To where it wants it. It almost wants you to give some piece of it a chance. Right. So it's amazing to me the rise that happens that first 3 or 4 years and that everybody keeps going. Like every time I talk to somebody about Kiss, talk about Destroyer, I'm like, 47 years. Dude, there is other shit to talk about. Like, so it's just something about there was some vision, some luck, some taking chances. You got nothing to lose because you got cockroaches in the room anyway. Like, there's just, it's just that perfect mix. It happens every once in a while. Like, somebody needs to write a master thesis on this thing because I think you would find out that a lot of planets had to align for this thing to work.
Yeah. Right. No, absolutely. Now, one of the cool things here is, once again, I'm looking here at Kiss Alive Forever. It says the Kiss tour for the first record was 84 shows, December 31st, 1973. So once again, if you go back to the other tour, they're getting off the road December 22nd. So 9 days later, they're back on the road.
They're hungry.
They're hungry. 1973, they're starting in New York. October 4th, 1974, they're ending in Houston, Texas. They went to both Canada and, of course, the U.S. Now, here's some more bands. This is kind of cool. So this says headlining acts. Okay. I don't know if any of this is mixed up because there's a couple of bands in here that I've heard the opposite, whether I heard that they were openers, but I don't know if that's true. Okay. So 10cc. So this is their first tour. 10cc, Aerosmith, Argent, Billy Preston, Blue Oyster Cult, the all new Fleetwood Mac, Iggy and the Stooges, James Gang, Kathy McDonald, Manfred Mann's Earth Band, Nazareth, the New York Dolls, Quicksilver, Message Service, Redbone, Renaissance, Roy Gallagher, Rush. Didn't I hear them talking about they took Rush on the road? But if this is right, they were the headlining act.
Yeah, but if they played in Canada, Rush would have headlined.
Exactly.
Good point. Thank you, Sonny. That's why you're here, because you got the fucking
and
ring.
Was Kiss even headlining at all in those years, 74?
Well, it doesn't really say. Anyway, Savoy Brown, Silverhead, Susie Quattro. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to make sure I understand this. Wasn't Susie Quattro Pinky Tuscadero?
I think so.
Okay, do you know who I'm talking about from Happy Days? Yeah, Sonny, can you Google that for me?
Pretty sure.
Pinky, who played Pinky Tuscadero on Happy Days? I got it. Let's see. Mojo Boogie Band, Mojo Gaga, I guess. The Outlaws, Redbone, Ritual, Ronnie Leg, Ross. Oh, now it says Rush. So I guess, yeah. Okay, so this tour was 84 shows. Now you're looking at the pictures, and the first picture you see is Paul in that bandit makeup. That's pretty cool.
It's Roz Kelly. It wasn't. It's Roz Kelly.
Roz Kelly?
Yep.
Oh.
Played Pinky.
Pinky. Wait, what?
Now,
no,
wait,
who
now here's Susie Quattro's coming up somewhere else. Susie Quattro.
Who was Pinky Tuscadero, and who was the other? There wasn't like a sister. She had a sister or something. We're old.
She might have been the sister. There was a sister.
Pinky Tuscadero and...
She was Leather Tuscadero.
Leather Tuscadero.
That's right. Yeah.
Leather. She used to do that. And didn't she do that? She wore leather and she would smack her leg twice and then leather. Oh my God. I'm so freaking old.
Yep, there she is.
Here's another picture of Paul with the bandit makeup. It's cool. Anyway, so the set list for this, from what I can tell, pretty much stayed the same. I mean, they have more stories in here than set lists.
There you go, John.
But
he's not looking.
Yeah, that was.
I see it.
That's a great picture.
That's a great man. The Fonz? Are you kidding me?
Fonz. I'm at the Fonz.
You did?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I was dressed as Pennywise. He loved it. He was laughing so hard.
Oh, my God. If you look here, though, out of all these shows, though, there's quite a few that are canceled. June 26th, canceled. June 27th, canceled. July 6th, canceled.
They didn't want Kiss.
July 4th, postponed.
I think that's postponed. Ticket sales. That's got ticket sales written all over it.
Now they've got a record out at this point, right? All right.
Of course.
So they do the show. That one of the coolest things that, you know, is thinking about how they were on the road, off the road, on the road, off the road.
Didn't
so let's look at this again. This
74?
Yeah. So 74, they finished in Houston, Texas, October 4th, February 20th. So they must have stopped for the holidays. February 22nd, 19. Oh, no. I'm sorry. October 17th, 1970. They're back on the road for the Hotter Than Hell tour. Boom. Yeah.
Boom.
This one comes out.
Boom.
I remember being a little kid.
I got 3-1.
Heck yeah. I remember flipping this over and looking at the boobies on the back.
No boobies.
Because there's a star on the boob. And I always thought it was kind of... I always heard rumors that was somebody Peter knew, or it was his wife or something like that. But I love this album cover. Sonny, when you see this album cover, is this something that you think is iconic?
Yeah. For the time and for what they were doing, absolutely. There's better album covers, but... For basically a new band on their second album to get an album cover that was that detailed and that kind of almost shocking.
Right.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty shocking back then.
Yeah. The makeup on the back, right?
Yeah.
Is classic. Yeah. You know, we've all seen people wear this now where it's a mixture of all their stuff. There's pictures of each of the band members. Ace is sitting on what looks to be like some kind of a table with science stuff. Paul's got the green girl from one of the Star Trek movies. And Peter's got the half naked chick. And then of course, Gene breathing fire. But I always thought that the hand in the corner was kind of clever, and the thumb in the front. So it's kind of like somebody's holding it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I always thought that was kind of clever. It's like, wow, that's pretty interesting. But also, how everything's written in Japanese or something, you know, up at the top of the record, and then in the middle you have English. On one side you have Japanese. On the other side, it's English. So they must have really been hoping for themselves to blow up overseas. Sonny?
They did.
Yeah, that's what I would think. And think about this, too, on the album cover. Like, if you're a believer that first album cover is supposed to be like Meet the Beatles or We're the Beatles kind of album cover, right? Because it's all black and it's just the four heads.
Right.
They completely dump anything that's got to do with To Hotter Than Hell. Like, they're completely their own person now, right? Yeah. So to have, you know, Japan signs and blah, blah, blah before you've even been in Japan, that's pretty interesting. Like, that's vision. Whether you want to call that luck or crazy, it's pretty good.
Maybe they just
a lot of years
it would take to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, what are you going to do? Have the Canadian flag? Like, you got to do something.
Right. Good point. Once again, thank you guys for watching. I'm sorry. I'm only using my phone because the weather here in Alabama is bad and I couldn't get the internet to work. So I'm not posting comments up, but you guys, I'm sure, are having a great conversation. Headlining acts. So this tour only went for a few months, October 17th to February, October 17th, 74 to February 22nd, 1975. It started in Michigan, ended in Indiana, Canada and U.S. again. Headlining acts, Black Oak, Arkansas, Dr. John, Fog Hat, Golden Earring, JoJo, it looks like Gun, Quicksilver Messenger Service, REO Speedwagon, Rush, Wishbone Ash, and ZZ Top. That's kind of cool. Wow. The bands that Kiss played with, there's so many bands in here that they're, you know, Aerosmith is still around. ZZ Top is still around. You know, Rush probably would be
pretty much still around. I mean, they just ended a few years ago.
Yeah. The opening acts, I'm just not going to read them all because we're starting to run out of time. Right. There was a band called Clowns. I'm looking here. UFO, Rush.
Oh, I love UFO. Whatever. See.
Like, I'm not looking. There's an argument. The average attend. Okay, so let me go back to this. Let's see if I can find this in here, okay? Because I want to make sure that I say it doesn't say it on the first tour. On the second, on the Kiss tour, it says the average attendance for their shows was 2,650 people. Does not include 331.74 or 429.74. So those must have been much bigger shows. They were like special deals, you know, New Year's, that kind of thing. So, you know, 2,700 people on your first tour, you're opening, you know, you're opening most of the shows, right, Sonny?
Yeah, I mean, 2,700 is nothing to sneeze at. There's some big
But acts, Aerosmith is bringing that.
Yeah, there's some big acts there, that's for sure.
But
yeah.
They're just up and coming, too.
Right. No, that's a good point. So here's the Hotter Than Hell tour. Now they're playing with Black Oak, Arkansas. Now they're playing with ZZ Top. Now they're playing with Golden Earring, REO Speedwagon, Rush. The show, now it's 4,000. So now 4,000 people are seeing them on an average attendance, right? Now we know that when Kiss would play places like Detroit, they would sell out big places by themselves, right?
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking ZZ Top was probably a Texas play. Aerosmith is more like a Boston play. Like, it kind of depends on where you're at, and then you connect with the act that's also up and coming but big in their town. And then I guess they do ZZ Top a favor when ZZ Top comes to New York or whatever. Like, I'm sure there's some of that, because that happens today. There's co-headling tours all over the place, and depending on who's big where, they just switch off.
Yeah. So that tour, you know, that was, you know, Paul always said, you know, we released the first record and it sold okay, but it didn't sell amazingly. You know, I mean, me personally, even today, if I put a record out and it sold 100,000 copies, I'd be like, yeah, you know, the label wouldn't be too happy, you know, but, you know, he goes, oh, I remember him saying it like this one. Oh, you don't like that one? Here's this one. Oh, you don't like that one? Here's this one. So the next album comes out, Dressed to Kill. This is so hard on the phone. That's what she said.
With the messed up S logo.
Yeah, that okay, so I talked about that. So you guys out there, on Wednesday and Friday, I'm doing a new little thing on our YouTube page. If you get a chance, subscribe. It's called the 20-Minute Kiss Fix. I come on at 10 o'clock at night, and I talk for 20 minutes about Kiss. I pick a subject, and we talk about it. It's been a lot of fun. I've been getting hundreds of views. It's short and to the point, and you guys are welcome to join me 10 o'clock Eastern time. So I actually talked about a bunch of different, you know, things on Kiss records that are either what I would consider an error or whatever. But on Kiss, on Dress to Kill, I remember not even realizing that there was a problem up here in the corner where they ran out of room to put another S.
I didn't either.
Now, you can't really see it on camera because it's black and it's dark. But when you look at it, you're like, son of a gun, nobody fixed this. You would think that before it went to print that somebody would go, hey, we got to make sure this is right. Or do you think that the band said, it's going to cost too much money to fix it, just put it out? Sonny, you're the business guy.
My guess is those things are already made.
Nobody noticed. And
nobody noticed because who cares?
Nobody
right?
Cares.
This happens all the time. Like you get a comforter that has something written on and it's kind of written in sketch or whatever. You don't always get the full word. So who cares? Run it. And then by the time somebody notices, there's been 20,000 printed already. Nobody's going to go back and fix that.
Looks like I tried to do something there when I was little. It's got Sharpie on it. I took this original from my brother. It was his.
I never even noticed it till I met you Kiss nerds. I'm telling you, I'm a Kiss fan, but compared to you two, dude, I'm like a casual fan. But to every other person on the planet, I'm a Uber fan. I'm like,
you're Uber fan.
I'm like, guys, you ain't even met Uber fans. Those guys are nuts.
Yeah, they are. As a matter of fact,
I need to answer a question in the comments here from Chuck.
Okay, go ahead.
The best UFO. I'd start with the Lights Out and Strangers in the Night for the UFO albums. And whoever said don't bother, bother. UFO is amazing. So there.
Chuck, make sure you have your window rolled down so when you want to chuck it out, it doesn't hit your
you
window.
You won't chuck it out. I knew you were freaking awesome. Lights Out and Strangers in the Night. Those start with those.
You want to hear a good UFO? Start with Scorpions. There you go.
Whatever.
Brutal. So freaking brutal. All right. Kiss goes on tour. Now, obviously, Rock and Roll All Night is on this record. And it, you know, the funny thing here is now I'm if Andrew's still in the room, he's gonna make sure we all know. But there's a hype sticker on here and it says contains the hit single Rock and Roll All Night and Come On and Love Me and Ladies in Waiting. So I'm wondering if that hype sticker was put on it
hit single
after Alive came out. What would you think, Sonny?
I would have to say so. Yeah, because if the plan was to have Ladies in Waiting and sing as a single, then they didn't do that.
Right.
So you would think, but some of this stuff changes as new printings happen and stuff happens with the band. That stuff happens. It's okay.
Okay. Dress to Kill tour, March 19th, 1975 through August 28th, 1975. Pennsylvania to Indiana. Headline, U.S. and Canada again. Black Sabbath, Golden Earring, Hunter Ronson, Johnny Winter, Marshall Tucker Band, Ozark Mountain Daredevils, Rare Earth. Did I say Black Sabbath?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I thought I skipped over them. Uriah Heep, War, and ZZ Top. Black Sabbath, at that point right there, was pretty huge. Yes?
Yeah, I think they were on their fourth or fifth album by then.
Yeah, they started early.
Yeah. A lot of the bands. So one of the bands that's interesting that was an opening band was Journey, which I think is pretty interesting. 1975. So you got the Atlanta Rhythm Section. Let's see. You know, I don't know a lot of these bands, but Hydra, James Gang, Journey, Nazareth, REO Speedwagon, Rush. I'm just going by names I know. Ted Nugent and Amboy Dukes. Thin Lizzy, The Tubes. That's pretty cool. Average crowd, 5,973 people. So each tour, it's going up. That obviously is going to be how a band becomes successful, correct?
Yeah.
You know, it does. A lot of times it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a little time, especially in 73. It's not like today where you could become viral. You know what I mean? The internet is very helpful to bands, you know? You could release one song and become a millionaire. It just works that way. Back then, you were lucky if that something like that happened. It was super rare, I imagine.
Yep.
The set list, let's see, March 21st, 1975. Deuce, Strutter, Got to Choose, Hotter Than Hell, Firehouse, She, then Ace's Guitar Solo, Nothing to Lose, Parasite, Gene Simmons' Bass Solo, 100,000 Years, Peter's Drum Solo, Black Diamond, Come On and Love Me, and Let Me Go Rock and Roll.
Oh, please take me back. Please, it would be cool
to be able to see that. It would be cool to be able to see that.
Please, God, let me go back.
Now, that was 72 shows, you know, between March and August. I highly recommend this book. So, the pictures are great. Mm-hmm. It's called Kiss Alive Forever. Go on eBay if you don't have it. Take a poll. Everybody that has this book already in their collection, give me a thumbs up in the comments section. One of the cool pictures is Paul in his wearing sunglasses. I think I read he had pink eye. Is that what
he had? A black eye. That's sunglasses. What I read. It was a black eye.
If he had a black eye, then wouldn't he just put white paint on it?
Maybe. It says he had an eye infection.
Couldn't have makeup around it. Oh, an eye infection. But he couldn't put it anything.
I think he had pink eye.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what I read.
That book, Joe, that you got, was that one re-released with the Creatures?
Yeah. I talked about that earlier. Vinny did the thing in Atlanta. It was to commemorate that.
Oh, okay.
So this out, I guess, you know, they put out Dressed to Kill. It sells moderately again. The shows are what's so that's the thing.
Aquine's losing his ass.
He's totally losing his ass. But the thing is, though,
he believed him.
Absolutely, and that's the other thing. The shows are doing really well, though, right, Sonny? That's one of the things.
Yep.
That's what they were, you know, talking about. They were like, I don't understand. You know, we play here and we play here and we play here, and thousands of kids come out, but they're not buying our records. The story is that somebody said, well, you guys don't really sound like your records. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I guess they had to basically put another record out and make it affordable to the label in order to do it. And that's when you got Alive.
Yeah, there it is. Boom.
And Rock and Roll All Night, the live version, goes ahead and changes everything for the band. I'm not really sure, and I don't know if anybody really knows how many, you know, how many copies of that record. You know, you hear, you know, 5 million, 6 million. I don't know if any of that's true. And I can't remember what they said on the Spinning Gold movie. but they were talking about a lot of millions. I don't know how many millions it actually sold. I think they weren't actually keeping track until later, correct? Sonny, wasn't that, there was no Scantron on these, you know, or what do you call it? UPC codes.
Oh, they were keeping track because Zeppelin did just fine keeping track. Fleetwood Mac did just fine keeping track. Mm-hmm. Rush did the same thing. I think what the issue is that you have to go back to the RIAA and say you want stuff looked at to rebrand how many of you sold. And KISS hasn't done that in so many years that they have no idea how many they've sold. Hmm. And then you hear stuff like Chrysalis. The babies were getting screwed. They'd released. They were getting big. They had number, you know, they had top 40 hit.
We lost Sonny.
Man, that's it. That's the irony there. The irony there.
Right?
There he is. There he came
yeah,
back.
No, yeah, froze, I didn't hear any of that. I didn't hear it. So you said they were releasing hits, and then what after that?
Well, they weren't selling any albums. So John Waite was asking, why aren't we selling any albums? And Chrysalis was telling them they weren't selling any, but supposedly they were, and Chrysalis was pocketing the money.
What?
I don't know.
Isn't that something?
So who knows?
Scoundrels.
That's super messed up. Okay, so September, the Alive tour starts September 10th, ends March 28th, and it starts September 75 in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and ends on 76 in Springfield, Massachusetts. It goes from Canada and the U.S., and the only headlining act is Black Sabbath.
Whoa.
That's the only headlining act that they opened for is Black Sabbath. Now, I'm curious. Do you think that it was they were opening for Black Sabbath, and then all of a sudden Alive blew up, Sonny, and then somebody was like, they're going to be a headliner. Let's take them on their own tour.
Yeah, it's also possible Black Sabbath only had certain dates in the U.S., kind of like what Maiden does now. Black Sabbath's had some tough, man. They had Van Halen open for them, and it basically had Ozzy lose his job. Like, they've had some big bands open for them. My guess is they weren't exactly the best live band on the planet. That would be my guess.
It says KISS's drawing power was growing exponentially in November. The band played before what is one of the largest crowds to ever see a rock concert in an arena when it drew nearly 22,000 people at the Capitol Center outside of Washington. Accordion's insistence that KISS take every opportunity to capture the public's eye was succeeding. The band had seeped into the public's consciousness, and they would soon become a part of American pop culture.
Seeped.
That's what it said. What did I say?
It just made me laugh. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a gross word. But if you look at the head, like, okay,
like
so that's a
it's like the word voice.
7,300 people is on the average. But, you know, the first show in September 75, the capacity is 5,000, but only 1,800 people are there. But September the 11th, the capacity is 6,500, and there's 4,500 people. Mm. Okay, so how obviously a lot, like you said, Sonny, a lot of things had to happen. The planets had to align in order for this all to work out, right? And in order for this all to work out for the band, and one of those things. Like the exclamation point was Alive.
Yeah, I agree. And I think first of all, today, nobody would get a chance to release three albums before you're somebody.
Dude, right.
Jump you like a hot potato.
It'd two in dumb. 1 year, I think. Weren't two of them in one
yeah,
year?
Yeah. And nobody would say, well, you need to put out another album so people know who you are. They would
every
just
six
see if
months,
that first,
man.
They would just see if that first album did anything and dump your ass. Like that's, but I think the makeup and the interest live keeps it going.
And it doesn't. Had the left believed in them.
Yeah, and the word out there that they're good live. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the band recently that's done that for me is Bisto Blanco, because on tape it's kind of like it's
right.
Not music I normally listen to. Man, I saw it live. I'm like, good Lord, these guys are awesome.
Right? Yeah, so, I saw them with you, and it was yeah. It was a great show. It was a great.
But do you
show.
Own an album? Did you go out and buy an album? Probably
no,
not.
No.
Yeah.
But if they came to Atlanta and I knew about it, I'd probably go.
See.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was a lot of fun. Lee, do you think that so they've always said that Bill O'Coin came to them, or maybe it was Neil Bogart, I can't remember which one, but came to them and said, you need a song that tells everybody what you like, an anthem. Yeah. And Rock and Roll All Night was written. You know, I don't want to say that that's genius, but you know, the song is simple. It's not like it's difficult. That all Kiss music is pretty much simple. It's not, there's not a, it's not one of those, it's not like listening to Dream Theater or Rush.
Correct.
It's something that anybody can listen to and understand what's going on. However, being a band that says, let's write an anthem, I want, you know, what do you want to do? I want to rock and roll all night and party every day.
Right. Pretty that's, simple.
And I think that the kids of 1975, that's what they wanted.
That's what we all wanted.
I still want that. What are you talking about?
We want it now.
Yeah.
Except I want to rock and roll all night and part of every night.
Part of it.
Tired.
Yeah, but we still go. We'll still do it, Lee. We'll still
part
go.
Of the day.
I'm just saying. Anyway, all right. So listen, we got to 75, and the tour ends in 76. I hope you guys have enjoyed that. We're gonna take over from 76 in a few weeks or so, and we'll do a few more years. We'll talk about it. Hopefully, Joey will be back soon. We know that he is. I believe he's in California.
He's a busy boy.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he's in California.
Is he playing at the Whiskey or something?
I think so, yeah. With what some of his students, which is
how
pretty
cool.
Is that? Yes. So that's pretty much it for the day. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
First of all, thanks for everybody for listening and watching. But I will tell you, I've never heard him say it. We don't have any tape of him saying it. I don't think he's ever said it on audio. But I bet you Paul regrets not singing Rock and Roll All Night.
Ooh, interesting.
I bet you that's a regret. The quintessential song that everybody knows Kiss did.
Paul, he jumped in there, though. He jumped in there a few times.
Yeah, but.
What?
Yeah. Good point. Good point. That's the only way you know Paul's in there. That's a pretty good thing. I hope somebody one day asks him. I wonder if he would go, no, I'm really glad I didn't, because
right,
it became the hit because
I'm so tired of it.
Yeah, but it became the hit because of how it was put together, really, right?
I think it's odd that I'm not, like, even when it comes on, why aren't I tired of that song? I've been listening to it for like 50 years. Like, why aren't I over that? It's weird.
Well, I like the song, but I'll definitely skip
it's
the...
It's weird. If it comes on, I...
Not the live version, you know, but...
Either one.
Lee, you have anything to add?
No, this was fun. Nope.
Cool.
It was great.
Sonny, you got any new shows coming out?
We joined Pantheon Podcast, so we've got shows coming out every week, like always. We just released the album review for Kill 'Em All. We did a Christian rock episode, which was pretty fun. We did an interview with Stevie D on the new Buck Cherry record. So, yeah, good stuff.
Nice. Cool.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, you know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss, and we love Kiss podcasts, most of them, some of them, a few of them. And we're going to hear the I don't know. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this. Hey, if you guys are watching right now and you've hung with us this whole time, Thank you so much. I know that the screen looks a little weird today, but I might look weird all the time. To be fair, if it could just be me and Sonny's voice and you guys looking at Lee for an hour, I'm sure
whatever.
You guys would be thrilled to death. Please. That's exactly what I expected her to say. We're out of here in 3, 2, 1. Notice I said nothing about Dubai.
give you all the time I can spend at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's first stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare, classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com, GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.